Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having a business strategist. We're going to talk about her book. It's called Good Boss, Bad Boss, Lessons from Effective Managers and Not So Effective Managers. And if you want to call in, the telephone number is 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460. Pose a question in the chat room, and I'll go ahead and read the question on the air. Again, everybody, welcome Doreen McGonigal. Welcome, Doreen.
Thank you, Timothy, for having me this morning.
Great. Thank you for joining the show. I guess to begin with, kind of tell us about yourself. Our listeners like to get a personal view on where the person is from and how they got started.
Well, I'm actually living in South Florida, and I've been working for about 20 years, over 20 years, with Fortune 500 companies. And I realized back then that a lot of companies, the larger companies, weren't really handling their employees properly. And there was a big disconnect between the employees and senior management team. So I made a certain effort. I have a PhD in organization management. So I started my practice in 2006, and we focus on organizational culture and leadership training and helping organizations build that high-performance organization.
What is actually, in a nutshell, what is organization management? I know we've seen this a lot in the past decade. Is it companies are not really focusing? They're planning everything else in marketing and finance, but not really planning their organization?
Well, a lot of times today, the larger corporations are focusing more on stripping employees and also cutting back on major employees. So they're not really thinking about the future of the organization. But as an organizational development consultant, we look very highly on the talent that's in the organization because we know that without the proper assets, people assets, your organization's not going to grow. You know, it's very important that you actually have satisfied employees because that's really how you create loyal customers, and that improves your bottom line.
Wow. So any common problems have you noticed with dealing with Fortune 1000 companies today? What is a common problem that you normally run into?
I would say when we do our culture assessments, because we actually survey online all the employees in the organization, and we actually analyze 33 culture metrics, and one of the biggest ones is trust. A huge major factor is a lack of trust between the employees and the senior management team.
Wow. Any particular reason why? They think because of the economic downturn is the issue, or is that they fear that they're thinking that the employees are considered as commodities and they're expendable? Hey, we can get rid of you when we need to cut something.
I would say it's probably a combination of both. I mean, obviously, when Wall Street dictates to a firm that's in a publicly traded organization, they want to strip the company as much as possible to be able to have a higher cash flow that particular quarter. But that's not thinking about the long-term environment. That's one of the reasons why I do try to focus very heavily my organization on small to medium-sized company, because we want them to grow and create that high-performance organization and actually beat out the competition.
Okay. Any difference between the private and the public sector? If you have a publicly traded company and a private company, do you still have these problems existing with both cultures?
Not as much, because the private company is usually the owners have a major concern for their employees, and they're really concerned about improving the bottom line. And they want to do that through healthy organizational culture.
Wow. So even when Wall Street is coming to the public sector, publicly traded companies, and want them to handle something short-term to make things more profitable, does it put a lot of stress on the upper managers to make something happen, even if they feel like, hey, I do want to have my employees at best interest, but my job is on the line as well if I don't make these changes? Do they feel like they're in like a catch 22 type situation?
Very much so. And that's okay. Why a lot of organizations that were publicly traded are buying back their stock, because they have a better control over their long-term success.
Wow.
And improving the bottom line that way.
Okay. With small and mid-sized businesses, you know, the growth in free market economies around the world, yet 4 in 5 businesses fail within 5 years to start up. How can you help new businesses, entrepreneurs, really thrive?
One of the things that we found is sometimes business owners are not always looking at the big picture. They're actually working in their company opposed to focusing strategically on the long term of the company. So we actually help them target key elements to help them boost the profits and also make sure we're moving from a break-even point so they're actually creating a profit, so they're able to actually invest a little bit more money in the organization and build that high-performance culture by hiring the right people and building that right culture.
What advice do you give them in hiring the right people? You know, you get all these applicants, and you really can't tell. You can see what's good on paper, but sometimes what's on good on paper is not really who they are. You met a representative, but you really don't know. It's like a dating. You date somebody and you marry somebody, and you have two different worlds. Do you know there's some businesses that would have that type of situation when hiring people? You're dealing with when you date, you meet the representative, and then you actually hire them. Now you met the person.
Of course, and one of the things that we do is we benchmark each position in the organization, and then we do an assessment. The actual employee does an assessment before they're hired. So the assessment gives us the organizational behavior patterns of the person. So we can actually have the interviewer ask questions very specifically tied to how they responded. So that way you're making sure that the person fits the culture of the organization. And it's a win-win for both people, because you don't want an employee coming to work for you who does not fit that culture of the organization.
When you talk about culture, I think you mentioned at the very beginning of the interview, kind of tell us what type of cultures that these companies normally will have. Is more of a casual or more of a, like a banking is different from IT. IT is banking from retail. Can you kind of describe what type of culture your clients are?
Well, depending upon the organization, everybody has their own type of culture. But some of the things that we try to impress upon the owners is that trust is a very important culture factor. Communication with others. I mean, there's many, many culture traits that you want to look for in an organization. And those are the two probably primary, which is trust and communication, integrity and character. Because that's what really helps the employees understand where the company is going. And they really care about the employee as well.
Wow. So a lot of companies will have trust issues with employees?
Sure. I mean, an excellent example would be your airlines industry. You know, when you are having to do additional things to create higher trust with employees, like, for instance, Southwest or other airlines, they need to create that trust with their employees so that they have less expenses.
Okay. And, for example, with Southwest, they seem like, of course, they're getting ready to have, they're still trying to merge two different cultures, the Southwest culture to the company they purchased, AirTran, which is going to have a total different culture altogether. And I can assume, you got to assume the person who's buying you. Any particular things that you can say that might stand out with these two different airline cultures, how would Southwest incorporate something from a different culture that's been established and trying to put in their fund culture? Is this making sense?
Well, yes. And
one
of the reasons why they probably have not merged them together is because they are two different cultures. And one of the things that the company has to decide, and Southwest being the purchaser, their culture has been a very employee-based culture and very satisfying, you know, making sure the employees are satisfied. So in order to do that, they're probably going to have to do assessments for the current employees with AirTran to see where they're at, and hopefully they can create a new culture together. That happens to be, when you deal with mergers and acquisitions, it happens to be one of the major problems with an M&A, because they usually fail. They don't usually make it.
Wow.
Because the two cultures are so different, and when you try to merge them together, if you're not thinking about the people and you're only thinking about the money, it really doesn't work.
Wow. You know, you have the same thing with business owners who actually buy new businesses, and the employees that you buy have their own culture, and necessarily they don't know your culture and they have to learn you, versus if you buy somebody else on a smaller system, what advice would you say, hey, this is besides the assessments, what can you do? Because sometimes you, I remember just recently we had a person we financed who was buying an insurance agency. And he's the one agent, and he comes in with ten employees. Well, it was mind-boggling to him because he's walking in. He has an established agency that runs itself in one sense. Now he got to figure out he has this particular culture of a banker coming into this particular retail and consumer type culture that's already branded, and he's feeling like he doesn't have a control, if that makes sense.
Of course,
because
he probably
go ahead.
And he probably doesn't have control. He has to be able to determine where they're at. I mean, obviously, you want to do a culture assessment first to find out what the employees are thinking, so you know what's going on there. But then also, it's going to be a matter of team building. You have to do exercises together. You have to do teamwork together. You have to have meetings together. And you have to make sure the employees understand that you're not threatening them, but you want to make it a team effort, make it a team environment so that everybody wins at the end.
Okay. Regarding human resource management, can be a problem for businesses. How would you help them with the outsourcing of labor?
Well, a lot of companies today are outsourcing a lot of the HR portions of their business. But one of the things that we like to do also with the company, if it's a smaller company, we look at the core factors or core business attributes of their company, and they could be a product or service. But we don't outsource the core pieces, but the pieces that support the core could be something that could be outsourced to either overseas or here locally. They can be sometimes done cheaper. And that's really what we're concerned with, is making them, helping them save money. And be more efficient.
So I know it's the same thing with HR. You might have a centrally located place that's not in your state. And actually, they're the HR department that's contracted from another town. You're in Texas, they're in California, so you have that lag of difference. And as a manager, you're trying to contact HR because HR have, you know, they're using a payroll service. So in order to correct something in payroll, you have to contact this payroll person, you have to contact this person with HR, and you have all these different elements with HR. Is that really a good thing, having three or four different entities to handle different problems with HR?
Well, a lot of times it's cost-effective to do it that way because one particular company may specialize in one portion of HR, where maybe, for instance, if you're a small business owner, you really don't have time to actually do everything involved with payroll and, you know, labor laws and different things that need to be taken care of. So outsourcing either a piece of it or all of it is a very good idea. You can always have one company representing you for all portions of it. That would save you time and money.
Wow. We're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be back, and we're going to go ahead and continue with the show with Doreen McGonigal. Be back in one moment, good bosses and bad bosses. Be back in one moment.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Jacquin.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Regarding your book, Good Boss and Bad Boss, kind of tell us about how did you choose the title and What inspired you to write this particular book?
Well, Good Boss, Bad Boss, it's actually, and it has also the finalized name of it, it's Lessons from Effective and Not So Effective Managers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we did, we put a survey on our website just to get a pulse of what was going on with some of the individuals who were reading it and posting to our website.
Okay.
And we were astonished at some of the information that was coming out of it. So that's really what the basis was for the book. We took the surveys and ran a data analysis on them to determine what the themes were in the blog post.
Wow. So what type of things that with the blog post that came back?
Well, again, you know, a couple of the major ones was communication.
Okay.
Both listening and effective communication on the manager side. And then character, you know, talking about who you are and actually being that same person. And then leadership skills. A lot of times the leadership skills were not there. In order to be able to be a good leader, you have to know who you are as well.
Wow. Can you teach leadership? There are some people that inherit, you know, they have this leadership capability. Some people really don't. Is it talent or it has to always be nurtured and taught?
Well, there are some individuals like Gandhi or Muhammad, not Muhammad, you know, Gandhi that actually came from within. It was a very charismatic type person. So those mm-hmm. people we think of as true leaders. But leadership itself can be taught. You know, you can be groomed into be a good leader. It's all about personal development on your end as much as helping groom you on the company's end as well.
What advice do you have for any manager who's coming in? I think one thing we've noticed over the past 10 to 15 years, you have these set of employees who've been for a company, been at a company for 20 years, then they have a new manager with an MBA that's only 25 and then in their 40s. Of course, you have to prove yourself. What in that type of situation that is becoming more commonplace? Yes, you have the academia world telling you how to become an MBA, but anything that you suggest that they need to take in leadership that they need to focus on as they start this particular job so they don't run into issues, any advice that you normally have for the 25-year-old person or 30-year-old person who's walking in with a senior staff?
I mean, they can do a couple of things, and one important piece of it, I believe, is coaching. Have an executive coach help them go through, especially those first few months in that new position, because that executive mm-hmm. coach can be someone they can lean on and help them get their foundation up and running and help them move into areas and understand it better. Because one of the things that we do is we do an emotional intelligence assessment that helps them understand a little bit more about themselves so they're able to be a more effective leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about understanding emotions and how other people are feeling as well and putting yourself in their shoes. And the other thing is we like to do a 360. If the person is brand new to the company, then we obviously have to wait on that. But doing an assessment as to where they're at in their leadership and their management styles helps us as a coach understand where they need to have some additional help and move into a transition to a good, successful leader.
Okay. Many companies have compliance issues. How will you actually help your client to improve those profits?
On compliance issues?
Mm-hmm.
Well, compliance issues, depending upon what they're actually dealing with, it could be an HR issue. A lot
okay.
of times we'll come in and analyze the situation, and then we have to figure out where they're at, and we need to find out where they need to go, and it's really a matter of, you know, creating that map for them to determine how they're going to get there. And then go in and we can either fix it for them, meaning we can help them through their steps, or they can implement it themselves.
Okay. And also, what about business owners often think that there's a business can't run without them. How will you actually help those particular business owners who think their business can't run without them to handle day-to-day operations?
A lot of times businesses are not successful when they're new, maybe for the first 3 or 5 years, is because they don't have the proper systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we work with the business owner to make sure they have all the right people in the right place and also the right systems in place. So that allows them to make sure that they can delegate the information properly and the work properly. So it allows them to come out and step back and think more strategically opposed to working in their company. They're able to look at where they want to grow it and be much more successful.
Okay. Dealing with branding itself, Creating a brand, creating your own cultural experience with your particular brand. Tell us about, you know, some important aspects of marketing when you're dealing with brand marketing.
I think today, you know, especially a smaller company and even the larger ones too, creating a brand has become much more easier. They can actually do a lot of work on Facebook or social media. A lot of it's free. It's about creating awareness of who you are and what you stand for as an organization, and also be active in the community as well. That's a couple of the inexpensive ways to create a stronger brand of people buying from you.
Okay. Kind of tell us about, you have also some series of other books that you've written as well. And your portfolio, are they articles or actually those particular titles of books that you have as well?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
One more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just looking at the information that was given to me. Do you have other books as well regarding organizational leadership or strategic management type leadership as well?
I have another book, Dream It, Believe It, and Achieve It, which is more of a
okay.
book on power and how you can attain power as to growing your personal self and also achieving the goals that you want to. Then I have another one that was written on the automobile industry in China.
Okay.
Tell
us about
the
differences of China versus here. When you wrote that particular book regarding China, kind of tell us about that particular book.
It was written on the automobile industry in China, and it was developed on, our research was done on partnerships, the domestic partners with the local Chinese partners,
mm-hmm.
and creating an understanding of what their impact was into the automobile industry in China. A lot of research was done. It was done in written in 2007. So it really analyzed what was going on in China and also the margins that the companies were able to get and how they were being successful in China.
Wow. What do you see now? The automotive industries is really, really have really recovered. What do you see where things are going with our relationship with China and the automotive industry?
And with the automobile industry?
Mm-hmm.
The relationship with China, you know, China is a powerhouse, and they are a very strong player in the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
And as long, and we do have to recognize that fact, and we have to understand that they are a major player in the organizations. As far as the automobile industry, you know, they're one of the major reasons why they're there is because of the high percentage of profits and margins that they have being overseas.
Okay.
A lot of the companies have been moving to global-type platforms, so they outsource each portion to where it's done in a country that's actually more effective for them, more efficiently.
Okay.
It may not be just China. They may be using several different countries for the actual completion of the actual automobile.
Okay. And they so they have to be a global player and use all these resources available to them. Anything in your particular book that you're like that stands out, you like to guess close the program with, if you don't mind reading?
Well, I think that, you know, one of the major things to me is communication when it comes to your employees and actually creating an understanding of who they are and helping them grow as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the survey responses, a good boss is a primary leader, someone who's ability to establish a vision and mission for the team and is capable to motivate and provide guidance and mentorship towards that particular goal so they can achieve the same goal at the same time. And I think that's an important aspect of all employees and good leaders.
Okay. In closing, if you have a small business owner who's getting by, what advice do you really give to them that they really need to be conscious of, things you've taken away from your large clients that he needs to be also aware of because the elements still exist, business to business, managers to managers. What things that the advice that you would give to this small business owner who maybe have 10 employees or 5 employees that they need to be aware of in order to become more profitable and make their business grow?
I think one of the most important things is to understand how much of an asset your employees are, and you really need to work together as a team to improve that bottom line, because your employees can offer a lot of assistance to helping grow that organization as well, and hiring a good coach to make you, make you grow to the next level.
Do you believe with incentives, does incentives really work with employees?
I think it does, but you have to understand your employees and what motivates them, because not everyone is looking for just money. It could be just a simple thank you card or a simple pat on the back in front of everybody. So it doesn't necessarily have to be money. It's just a matter of appreciating that person's hard work that they just did for you.
Wow. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you coming on and talk about your book, Good Boss, Bad Boss, Lessons from Effective Managers and Not-So-Effective Managers. Thank you, Doreen, for coming on the program.
Well, thank you, Timmy, for having me.
Great. Thank you again. Take care. Again, bye-bye. This is another bye-bye. This has been another production of The Core. Again, it's another production of The Core Business Show. You can download this episode on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening to the program, and have a great day. Take care.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.